All right, let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that you delight to show yourself, your character, on the pages of Scripture, that you are a gift giver. And that you say, even on the last page of your word, to the one who wishes, let him take the water of life without cost. And so, Father, we thank you that you give freely. And we know that what answers to a free giving God is a thankful people. And so we pray that you would make us to have thankful hearts because we know you and we're walking with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. A psalm for thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. The whole Christian life can be comprehended in thankfulness to God. A thankful heart is what makes Christian obedience acceptable and pleasing to God. It's when it comes from the overflow of a thankful heart. And without a thankful heart, no obedience is acceptable or pleasing to God when it's not the overflow of a thankful heart. And that's why thankfulness is commanded here in this Psalm, Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. The whole Christian life can be comprehended under that thankfulness that's commanded here. Well, tonight's message is similar to this morning. It's going to follow very, very closely a Thomas Goodwin sermon. And Thomas Goodwin in his sermon chose Psalm 100 verse 4 for his text and then didn't say a whole lot about it after that. Actually, it's what I'm going to do is go use a lot of scriptures, probably too fast for you to turn. So at least I'm not going to wait for you to turn. You can try. I'm going to go over a lot of scriptures if I go through everything, that's in my notes. As I read this psalm, and I'm glad to read it, it really has the very same emphases as his sermon. And so I think, perhaps he had a method in choosing this as the text for his sermon. It's the same emphases on the goodness of God, on joy, on thanksgiving to the Lord's name, and serving him with gladness because it's he who's made us, he who's created us, and who's given us the new creation as well of salvation, and not we ourselves. This sermon of Thomas Goodwin is one of my favorites, I think one of the best of his. I like this sermon as well as the one that I followed in preaching this morning, if not more. This might even be a better one. And so I'm going to cover this sermon in two parts. This is part one, and then next Sunday night will be part two, and then after that we'll go back to the Genesis series on Abraham. The title that Thomas Goodwin gave this sermon is A Discourse of Thankfulness, which is due to God for his benefits and blessing. And this evening we'll look at five questions, we'll answer five questions about thankfulness to God, and then we'll be done. It'll be a to be continued for next week. So the first question, how does being thankful to God differ from glorifying God? Because they are different. They are made to differ. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "For even about the unsaved, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened." And so it's mentioned as two separate things. They didn't glorify him as God and they didn't give thanks. And because of that, they're guilty before God. Now, it's true that whenever you thank God, you also glorify God in the very same thing in which you thank him. And so when the Lord healed the 10 lepers, Luke chapter 17, only one returned to give thanks. And this leper fell flat on his face at the feet of Christ, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were not the 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So he gives thanks, and the Lord says he's giving glory to God by giving thanks. Thanking God is always glorifying God according to a certain way of relating to him. And so that act of thanking God, it's always also a glorifying of God according to a different way of looking at it. So here's an illustration, and it's one that Thomas Goodwin gives in his sermon. The same act is called different things according to the relation between persons. So a friend or a son or a servant could do the very same thing for a man, and it could be called different things. When the servant does it, it's called service. When the son does it, it's called duty or obedience to his father. When a friend does it, it's called kindness. And it's the very same thing according to those different relations. It's the same with us in relation to God, as God is a glorious God in himself, to whom all glory and honor is due. We stand before him as those who ought to glorify him. He is glorious, and so we ought to call him what he is. Think of him as how he is. Ascribe glory to him. But as he's also a God who's gracious to us, who loads us with benefits, we stand before him as those who ought to thank him. And so there's a difference between the two of glorifying God and thanking him. As God is a glorious God, we ought to do all things to him, for him, make the end of everything we do to glorify him, to show that he is a glorious God. Goodwin says, even if we were not beholden to him in any way, all of that would be due to him just because he is glorious. Like it says in Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship him in holy array. And for that alone, we could never render him enough praise. Just because he is glorious, we would have an infinite debt of praise to owe him. But now, if in addition, there's a further ground to praise him, and that is you've received many mercies from this God, who's also glorious. Now what you ought to return to him is also called thankfulness. It's called glorifying God, and it's also called thankfulness. So to do all out of a sense of God's excellence and glory is to glorify him, but to do all out of a sense of God's mercies to you is to thank him. And so when Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes about the unsaved and the ungodly, that they did not glorify him as God or give thanks. When he says they didn't give thanks either, it's an aggravation of their sin. Not only did they know God's eternal power and divine nature through the things that have been made, that he is a glorious God, but also he loads even the unsaved with many mercies, like it speaks of in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, that God did not leave himself without witness in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And so not only did they not glorify him as God for who he is, but they were unthankful. They didn't give thanks for those many good things that God had done. So that's the first question. I think it might even be sort of like a warm-up question for this sermon, just to get you thinking. What's the difference between thankfulness and glorifying God? They're closely related, but also different. The second question, and this one we're going to spend some time on, because it's a definition. What is thankfulness? What is thankfulness? And this has a three-part definition that we'll come back to, because it's going to be worked out over what's said later. So what is thankfulness? I'll give you the three parts. First, thankfulness is a free rendering to God the glory of his goodness. So it's giving him the glory that his goodness deserves, ascribing to him the glory that his goodness deserves. Thankfulness is a free rendering to God the glory of his goodness, the second part, principally to the end that we may glorify it, glorify his goodness, and third, and testify our love to him. So thankfulness is a free rendering to God the glory of his goodness, principally to the end that we may glorify it, and testify our love to him. All of those are important parts of the definition. So let me give you five observations about this definition that'll kind of bring out the meaning of it. First of all, thankfulness is a rendering. It's an ascribing, a giving of thanks. It is a rendering that has reference and relation to something received. And that's very important. Thankfulness is a rendering that has reference and relation to something received. If I give anything to anyone and even give it very freely, but it's not in relation to something received, then it's not thankfulness. It's giving, but not thanksgiving. It's giving something, but not in reference to something received, and so it's not thankfulness. It is something else. When a man first begins to consider with himself that he's received from God, and upon that ground, he returns acknowledgement of the mercy, what he does return is thankfulness. So it has to do, you have to receive something first in order to be thankful. You can see this in what David writes, Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits to me? And so he's thinking about how can I express thankfulness to the Lord? That's what he's asking there in that verse. But it has reference to something received, the benefits. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits received? So for application, you can check whether all that you do is out of thankfulness. Do you look upon all your obedience that you give to God as a rendering back to God again for something received, as a rendering back to the author of every good thing that you enjoy? If you don't, you can obey God and do as much as is imaginable for God. And if it doesn't come out of thankfulness, you'll soon begin to murmur against God. The more you do for God that's not out of a thankful heart, the more you'll murmur against him. And so you're caught sort of in a catch-22 if you start obeying God, but not out of a thankful heart, not in reference to something received from God and out of the overflow of thankfulness to him. Men are apt to think, Goodwin says, God is beholden to them if they do anything for God. And they forget what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Goodwin comments, such popery is in men's heart, and this is not thankfulness. Such popery is in men's heart to think that you can give something to God that isn't out of thankfulness. And I think it's good that he identifies that as the essence of popery. This is Reformation Sunday, so perhaps important to remember what the Reformation was about, and he identifies it there, not that they allow statues and Protestants don't, or that even that they worship Mary and Protestants don't, as important as those things are. But he identifies popery as the idea that you can give something to God that puts God in your debt. And so he says that is not thankfulness, but it's as if you've given to him first. No, God has given first to you. And so what we give to God is out of a thankful heart. God says about himself, Romans 11:35, and he's quoting from Job, who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? No one. So thankfulness, and actually anything that we offer to God, this is why thankfulness comprehends the whole Christian life, is because it always has reference to something received, and that's the first part of this definition. So our definition, what is thankfulness? Thankfulness is a free rendering to God the glory of his goodness. And the point that he brings out second, it is a free rendering to God. When you thank God out of a thankful heart, it's not thankfulness unless you do it freely. It's not thankfulness if you do it out of slavish fear. It's not thankfulness if you do it out of compulsion. In fact, it's not even thankfulness if you do it to get something. But it's something done freely, something done spontaneously, something that you do, even if it weren't commanded, I would want to do this because it comes freely out of my heart. The reason for this, he says, thankfulness has relation to bounty and consists in likeness to it. You think even of some of the symbols of Thanksgiving that you're going to see around because it's that time of year. A lot of the symbols of Thanksgiving have to do with plenty of bounty, like a cornucopia that's overflowing, that is spilling out. There's a reason for that. God is a God of bounty. And when he gives lavishly. And one of the many things that makes bounty what it is that it must be free and willing. And that's the way in which God gives all of his gifts. He gives them freely. He gives them willingly. He gives them overflowing. He gives them out of his bounty. And so therefore, thankfulness must correspond with that. It must answer to that and must have the same characteristic of freeness and willingness in it, or else it is not thankfulness. Just as rendering thanks to God must be done in relation to something given, so also God's free giving must be answered by thankfulness that's rendered freely, that's rendered out of a full heart that loves to give that thankfulness. Goodwin says, it is not bounty unless it's freely given. It is not thanks unless it is freely rendered. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you received, freely give. And so those are to characterize both God in his giving and us in our thanksgiving, in everything that we give, or in every way that in which we obey as well. In thanksgiving, willingness, freeness is more required than whatever is given in thanks. Paul points this out when he commends the saints in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. I give my opinion on this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. And so that was to their credit. Paul said he wanted them to finish what they were doing, but he pointed out you were willing to do this a year ago. And that was evidence of God's grace in their heart, the willingness of it. The widow put 2 small coins into the treasury. And Christ says she puts in more than all that were around her. And it was her freeness in giving that made her gift to count more than the others in God's eyes. Elders are to serve freely. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says to elders, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory, a lavish reward that looks to willingness of service even more than the service that is rendered. So are you obedient to God, but you think of yourself as in prison? If so, you're unthankful, no matter how great your obedience is, because thankfulness is a free rendering to God, as well as the overflow of that thankfulness, which is obedience to God. So we've looked at the components of thankfulness. It has reference to something received, has to, or else it's not thankfulness. It could be something else, but it's not thankfulness. It must be given freely. Thanks, to be thankfulness, must be given freely. The third characteristic he brings out, and this one is quite interesting. The thing rendered to God, such as ascribing to him the glory of his goodness, that's specifically the thing for thankfulness. The thing rendered to God must be such that his glory does arise out of it. Glory, God's glory, is the point of thankfulness. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound for the glory of God. The purpose of thanksgiving is God's glory. It doesn't add to his essential glory, but it manifests his glory. That's the purpose of thanksgiving. And so it's a characteristic of true thanksgiving that it must actually manifest his glory. It must actually redound to the glory of God. And here Goodwin quotes approvingly from Aristotle. He's a classic writer from antiquity, not a Christian, but he wrote about thankfulness. And Goodwin says he gives an excellent rule By the way, you'll hear about Goodwin's life. He was given really the best education from a very early age. He didn't use it to show off, although he was tempted to. That was a great temptation to him, especially when he was young and the Lord taught him about that. He used his education only when it was helpful, only when it was edifying to the saints. That's what his, basically everything that he did was only to edify the saints. But he brings out what Aristotle said about thankfulness, because he brought out what kinds of thankfulness are fitting for different kinds of people and for different kinds of station in life. He says, Aristotle says, if you want to thank someone who stands in need, the best way to show thankfulness is to relieve that person's need. If the person is a peer, you show thankfulness by returning the same thing they gave you. You return it in the same kind. The Lord speaks about that in one of his parables, Luke 14, verse 12. He also went in to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So normally when you give to someone who's a peer, who's an equal to you, they thank you. A good way to thank you, a fitting way to thank you, is to give you the same thing back when they have opportunity. That's just what people do. But if the person you want to thank is someone far superior to you, who stands in need of nothing that you have, then the only way to thank them is to honor them for their bounty. Simply to honor them for their bounty. And that's exactly what God says about himself. For example, Psalm chapter 50, verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. I don't need anything. I'm the creator of everything and I own it. And so it says later in that same Psalm, Psalm 50, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Just thank him for his bounty. Or verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. You don't honor me by giving me something that belongs to me already. You thank me by offering me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so thanksgiving must be suited to something that actually glorifies God. It's not just giving him back the very same thing that he gave you, but it's something that honors someone far above you, infinitely above you, and it's simply to thank him. This is why you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7, verses like, go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which she has given you under the sun, for this is your reward in life and your toil in which you've labored under the sun. God doesn't begrudge you any of those gifts and blessings that he gives. You're not to pay him back in kind. No, I can't take those. I'm going to give those back to you. He says, only acknowledge that all that you have is from him and give glory to him by giving thanks to him as you enjoy those things that are for him, from him. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 says, he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. That's the way in which you eat unto the Lord, is by simply giving thanks to God. So Goodwin says that's the way to honor God. That's the way that you glorify, not a peer, but glorify God, is by simply thanking him for his bounty. That's what brings glory to God. He only qualifies it in this way. He says, only I add this, if God needs anything that you have, as he sometimes condescends to do, then let him have all. And he gives the example, a great example, from the triumphal entry, where the Lord is about ready to go over the hilltop, and he tells the disciples to tell the owner of the donkey and its colt to untie them. If anyone complains about it, says the Lord has need of these things, and immediately he will send them. And so there's times in which the Lord does that same sort of thing. It might be your brother and your sister in need. Let him have all. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the Lord might require your life from you. But when the time comes, you'll do it. You'll release it. If the Lord stoops down to say that he has need of it, if you're already thankful to God for it now, that's the way in which all his gifts are to be received in a way that actually glorifies him. The fourth characteristic of true thankfulness is it glorifies his goodness. And that attribute of God is specifically singled out. There's many other attributes of God, but thankfulness specifically glorifies his goodness. And that was a part of the definition of thankfulness, is that it glorifies his goodness. We praise God for his wisdom. We praise God for his justice. We praise God for his power, but we're thankful to him, Goodwin says, in relation to his goodness only. It may be that through those things, through his wisdom, he shows his goodness, or through his power, he shows his goodness to you, or through his justice, he shows his goodness to you. And if you praise him for those things, then his goodness in those things is a further ground for you to actually thank him. It's when praise leads to thanks, is when it shows his goodness, because the principal purpose of thanksgiving is to glorify his goodness, the goodness of God. Goodwin says this: we honor and reverence many men who are not good to us simply because we're bound to do it. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that last one is glory. We glorify men to whom glory is due. But that's a rendering which is not thankfulness. But when we're obliged to men for a kindness, for a goodness received from them, then when we honor them, or then when we serve them, then it's also thankfulness, when it's also because of a kindness and a goodness. And it's the same with God. Thanksgiving specifically glorifies his goodness. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men. The fifth characteristic of true thankfulness, and it puts out the last part of this definition: thankfulness is a free rendering to God the glory of his goodness, principally to the end that we may glorify it and testify our love to him. And this part especially talks about that last part. It's important. The Puritans didn't waste words or use filler in what they said. And next time, we'll specifically come back to what this point touches on. But there's two necessary ends of thankfulness. It's to glorify his goodness. It's to acknowledge his goodness specifically of all his attributes. And we've already covered that in the last characteristic. And to testify our love to him. And it has to have both of those ends in order to be true thanksgiving. Although you ascribe to God all the glory of his goodness, as well as can possibly be imagined, but if the end of it is not also to testify your love to God, then it is not thankfulness. And the reason is the same as the one given before. Thankfulness must resemble God's goodness and his bounty. It must be a fitting answer to it, and so it must resemble it in some way. And so here's a hint as to what we'll talk more about next week when we talk about this. God's gifts, his bounty, have his love in it. In fact, that's the chief thing that makes God's gifts bounty, is that they have within them God's love in it. And so our thanksgiving must have love in it as well. And so this is, I think this is a very important one, because it's important to remember. If these two messages on thankfulness and the importance of thankfulness, because much of it is really about the importance of thankfulness, if they seem like all obligation to you, like you should be more thankful, just and be thinking about that all the time, about how much more thankful you can be, you should be, it can sort of get away from you. So I'm just not thankful. And this is actually the handle that you can grab onto. Is God's love for you. If you really understand God's love for you in the midst of all his gifts, you'll find that you do have a thankful heart. So this is a very important one, what this touches on, and we'll talk more about it next time. But this is must be true of all thankfulness in order for it to be thankfulness. Is its end, its intention, its aim must not be only to glorify his goodness, but also to testify of our love for God. So Psalm 116, we've mentioned this psalm already, that speaks of thankfulness. And here's how David starts it. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. And he's going to ponder in this psalm, what thanks should I give to God? But he wants the Lord to know from the start that the foundation of all his thanksgiving is love to God. And that's part of it. David knows that what he received from God was out of God's love for him, given freely. And David takes notice of that even more than the gift itself. And so he desires when he gives thanksgiving to God, freely giving, that in the thanksgiving, God would notice David's love to God even more than the thanksgiving itself. It matches the gift. David knows what true love is, and that it desires to be paid back in its own coin. And so by receiving from free love of all of God's gifts given freely to him, he endeavors to return it all out of a free love freely given to God. He desires his thankfulness not just to satisfy a debt of thankfulness that he owes. Like you might tell a child, say thank you. You have a debt to say thank you. Or actually, it's not just a child. That's the way we often thank people. We know we have a debt. We know we should tell the person thank you. We've been well-trained ourselves. David wants to make sure that the thankfulness that he renders to God is not just to satisfy a debt, but to testify of his love. And so he speaks of it in that way. The third question. So we're doing five questions. The last two are short questions. But the third question, the first one was, how does thanksgiving differ from glorifying God? The second one question was, what is thankfulness? And it gave a definition and some characteristics of thankfulness to draw it out. A third question, what ways are you to show thankfulness? Or we can make it go with the definition. How many ways are you to render to God the glory of his goodness that you may glorify it and testify your love to him? So let me go through five ways to show thankfulness. And it's first in acknowledging his goodness alone as the ground of all good things we possess, which has two parts in it. First is to say that all the good things that are given to us come from him. They're given to us because of what's inside of him. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16 says, O Lord our God, all this abundance is from your hand, and all is yours, not ours. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 warns the Israelites not to say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So the first is to acknowledge that whatever good thing you have in God comes from what's inside him. And the second part of it, you might guess, is to say that it doesn't come from what's inside you, not for anything that's in us. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, when David here's the blessing that the Lord has in store for him and his house that's unimaginable to him. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? He knows that God treats him this way, not for any difference that God sees in him. That's not why God gave that to David and not to someone else, not to Saul, but simply for God's word's sake, which he promised, and out of the goodness of God's own heart. It's simply because God has a great heart, therefore great things come out of it. And so that is the first way in which we're to express thankfulness, is by saying that the good things that we have come not from us, but from God. The second, and this just sort of makes it the same point, but makes it even stronger, is our unworthiness. It's not only that it doesn't come from us, but it comes from God, but also that we're unworthy of the least of the gifts that come from us. Jacob, in his prayer, Genesis 32, verse 10, says, I'm unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. From with my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Jacob says, I'm unworthy of all the kindnesses that you've shown me, even the least kindness. I'm even unworthy of the bread that you've given to me. Thomas Goodwin says, our unworthiness is a further foil for his goodness. One that has deserved to be cast out forever is more bound to be thankful than one who is never offended. So the first and the second ways to show thankfulness to God, they're all internal. It's acknowledging the good things had nothing to do with you, and actually you're unworthy of it. But then the other ways start to become more external. Third, his goodness, your baseness, must not only be apprehended by you in the heart, but must also be acknowledged in words. He quotes from a passage of scripture that's a little bit of different context, but I think the same principle, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? Thanksgiving is not just for yourself, it's for other people that are around you, and so it's to be expressed, and it's to be expressed in a way that other people can understand. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 speaks of giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. Calls that a melody in the heart. Singing and making melody in the heart, but it's not just in the heart, it's acknowledged by the tongue also. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, the Lord says to the nation of Israel, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously that we may present the fruit of our lips. Don't just do it in your heart. Take words with you and express the fruit of your lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And so Thomas Goodwin says this, thankfulness is too big for the heart. The heart can't contain it. It must go out to others. Like Moses, who told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey and how the Lord had delivered them. Or David, Psalm 66, verse 16 says, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. Or Christ's reward for the demon-possessed man who was healed and actually wanted to follow Christ. The Lord sent him back to his own country. He did not let him, but said to him, Mark 5, 19, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. So thankfulness, it's acknowledged in the heart, then it's expressed with the lips. And so instead of what the mouth wants to be full of, Paul says in Ephesians 5, let there be giving of thanks. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And Thomas Goodwin says, if the heart were full, the mouth would be filled with thankfulness. It's in the heart, and then it's expressed by the mouth. But not only the mouth, fourth way in which thanksgiving is to be expressed, but the whole body. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And so this is, the Lord says, your spiritual, this is the worship that the Lord desires when you render your whole body a thank offering to the Lord, something done because of the mercies of God, and your whole body is given in obedience to him. The Lord takes more delight in that than the sacrificing of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil. And then the fifth way in which it's expressed is when you render your body a sacrifice not only to God, but to others around you. If you have a thankful heart, others are going to know it. To dedicate all to God and man. And so thankfulness is seen in how we treat others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And so if you're out of love for God, thanking God in your heart, thanking God with your lips, serving God with your body, you'll also be serving others as well. You'll be like David in his kindness to Mephibosheth. And that was inspired by David's urge to show kindness to is there someone that I can show kindness to that's from Jonathan's house? He remembered all of Jonathan's kindness to him. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, then David said, is there anyone yet left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And if you have a thankful heart, that's how you'll think of everyone that crosses your path. Is there anyone that I can show kindness to because I have such a thankful heart? Show kindness to in that way. Okay, we've done three questions. How is glorifying God different from thankfulness? What is thankfulness? And third, how is thankfulness expressed? We have two more questions, and they're easy ones. I know you already know the answer to the fourth and fifth question. The fourth question, for what must you give thanks and be thankful? All things. All things. This is how far God's goodness reaches. It touches all things. And so this is how far our thanks should reach as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 speaks of always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Even afflictions, such as mentioned in Psalm 119, are appointed and ordered for our good, though Goodwin says, and I agree with this, though in themselves they're not to be thanked for. You don't thank God for afflictions, but you're thankful in the midst of them, understanding that they're all for your good. Goodwin says, Job blesses God in the midst of all his afflictions, for he found God blessing him in the midst of all of them. For just as we cannot love God until he loves us first, we cannot bless him until he blesses us, and he's able to do that even in the midst of afflictions. He says, praise God for all temporal blessings, but especially for spiritual blessings, for they sweeten all others and cause his goodness to be seen in all of the others. And so according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He says, thank him for giving Christ to you and you to Christ and all things with him. And that's according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. So if you're thankful for Christ, if you're thankful that Christ has been given to you in all things, given to you in him, with him, you'll be thankful for all things. He says this, and this is kind of, I think, characteristically Puritan for this age, and maybe good for us to hear. Be thankful for public mercies to the state you live in, as well as private mercies to you. For godly men have public spirits, and public mercies are principally intended by God for you. You're the one in the nation who can appreciate them and who can give thanks for them. And so we're to return thanks. He encourages us to do that for mercies given to our nation. As well. So the fourth question was, what should we be thankful for? All things. The fifth question, when to show thanksgiving? And I think you know the answer to that question. At all times, always. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. When God stops giving, then you should stop being thankful. But he never stops giving. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so David says, I will sing to the Lord, Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. God loads us with benefits daily. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord, who daily bears our burden. That's what my translation says. And the one that he was using says, who loads us with benefits daily. And those are pretty similar in their meaning. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, or who loads us with benefits daily, the God who is our salvation. And so his mercies never cease. Our thanksgiving is never to cease as well. You can never thank God enough. You can never be in a moment where it's not appropriate to thank the Lord. And therefore, we're to praise him daily as the psalmist resolves to do Psalm 71, verse 14. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of all your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Goodwin makes this point. As sin is eternal guilt, and so the smallest sin deserves hell forever, where it will never be paid. The debt will never be paid. So also in heaven, you can thank God forever for the least mercy. Every mercy is an eternal obligation, just as every crime deserves eternal punishment. And the reason is the same for both. Our crimes against God deserve eternal punishment because they're sins against an infinite God. And so can only be punished by an infinite punishment being given. And so any benefit from him deserves infinite thanksgiving. And so the same is the case for our thanksgiving. It's why we're to be thanking him all the time. So the last part, Goodwin, I'm preaching half of his sermon. He still has half to go, and we'll do that the next time. But it's as if we knew that this would be a good place to break, because he says, I want to add just one extra thing, one last thing to this section. And that is, he says, look in whom God shows and extends all his goodness. It's through and it's in Jesus Christ. That's the way in which he shows all of his goodness to you. And so in and through him, return all of your thanks. All of your thanks, all the benefits, the gifts of God are given to you through Christ. And so all the thanksgiving must be given in Christ and through Christ and in his name as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That's where all the mercies come from as well. Or Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him then, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And so if thanksgivings are sacrifices pleasing to God, and they are, then you must offer nothing without a priest. And Christ is the great high priest. And so we give thanks to God in Jesus' name through Christ. And we receive all the blessings of salvation, all the blessings of this life, everything that we receive through Christ as well. So this time, for this part of the message, we talk mostly about what thankfulness that's due to God is, what it is. Next time, we'll look at encouragements for you to do it, for you to be thankful to God, according to that definition that comes from Scripture. And so next time, we'll have both warnings against unthankfulness and also helps to promoting thankfulness. And so we'll look at the sin of unthankfulness laid bare, 3 degrees of unthankfulness to see unthankfulness for the sin that it is, and then 5 causes of true thankfulness that are given as helps to thankfulness. And so that's for next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We know that we cannot thank you enough for the many gifts that you've given to us. We have only a glimpse of your goodness. And so we pray that you would show us more of your goodness, more of your love, and give us more of the blessings of what it is to have a thankful heart towards you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.